As we host the county exec of Frederick County. In fact, I can honestly say the best county exec we've ever had. Jan Gardner, thank you for being with us this afternoon. And welcome back from California. Congratulations. We got all that out of the way.
Yes.
Because they were talking about, were you going to be showing up at things? I said, well, last I heard she was in California, and then you showed up on
Monday night.
Yeah, that's she made it back fine, so that's good.
Yeah, I came back on Monday. Just so people know, I was out of town over the weekend for the baptism of my grandson, my first grandchild, so it was very exciting. And we also had my dad's 90th birthday the next day, so it was a big family weekend, and
it was
fun. My son lives in San Jose. Now, my family lives here on the East Coast. We live in Pennsylvania and Maryland. So, but people, my entire family, all my siblings, all my children flew out there for the weekend.
Wouldn't it have been easier to fly him back? But I don't know.
Oh, we're not going to have the baby fly anywhere.
No, no. How old's the baby?
Baby's 4 months old.
Wowzers.
And so, very cute.
Adorable.
Of course, I'm going to tell you that my grandchild is very adorable.
If you didn't, I would start to worry about you.
And we think he's very smart, too, and very good looking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I appreciate him naming after me, Tim, as I think is a beautiful name. So that's really...
just so the listeners know, we did not name him after Tim. We named him John, which is the family name. So
very good.
Everybody's named John. So now we have my husband, John, my son, John, and the baby, John. Mm. So, but we had 4 generations out there, and that's
cool.
Just
did you get pictures
fabulous.
And all that, I hope?
Yeah. We did.
Cool. And that's a one-in-a-lifetime thing.
It really is. It really is. We're really blessed that I have parents who are in good health and that we have such a great family.
Amen. Jan, if you don't mind me calling you Jan, I appreciate that. The budget. This is the big time of year. Budget.
It is.
And the last time we talked last month, you needed to wait for the state of Maryland and or the feds to give us some numbers. So I'm assuming, which one should never do, that you have those numbers now and plugged in.
We do. Always budgets are plans. You know, you always are projecting revenue, mm-hmm. and there's always some uncertainty with that. Property taxes are pretty certain. I mean, it's pretty much a math calculation, assessments times the tax rate, and then we'll have some growth. So there's a little bit of variation, but not much. Income tax is a whole nother thing. We saw a lot of instability in income tax revenue month to month this year. Some months we exceeded our budget,
projection.
Some months we went below, and so... It was hard to kind of figure out what was happening because there seemed to be no trend. And then, of course, the federal tax cut was, in theory, going to create a windfall of income taxes to the state, mm-hmm. which by extent would go to the counties. So the state kind of backed off on that a little bit. They did they increased the state exemption to mm-hmm. give part of it back to people.
Sure.
But then they kind of took a wait-and-see attitude to see if it really materializes. And they set up a reserve fund, and they set up a second education fund to put any excess revenue that may come into. So we may see that revisited again in the next legislative session.
I was impressed. I watched the county budget hearing last night, believe it or not, at county council. The budget presenter, whatever his name is, what a terrific. I mean, he knows his stuff.
That's Rick Harkham, our budget director.
Yeah, I have never met him, but I was, when you get into the weeds with the numbers, I mean, he answered all the questions. I mean, the council had, or the public came in for comments, which didn't make a whole lot of sense. But in this respect, the council can't add anything.
No, they can't. By charter, they can cut the budget, mm-hmm. But they can't add, with the exception of public education, which by state law, the charter counties allow the council members to add to education if the fully funded request from the Board of Education is not funded. So they can go up to that amount. And but I have told the council that if they decide as a group, as a majority, which means 4 of them, mm-hmm. that they want to cut something to add something somewhere else, I will consider that.
Sure.
Now, I've had individual people want to cut and add, but I need to have some consensus among the council. I can't do 7 individual budgets.
Otherwise, they'd just be looking out for their individual districts, I guess. It was not a begathon. That's what we used to call it in the old days, as you well know. But people there to support their programs, and whether it was interfaith housing or whatever. I don't say it wasn't important, but it seems like things were already there, and maybe they were saying to the council, don't cut this or don't cut that. Maybe that's what it was about. On Monday, we had Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Albin, with us, and she was, I would say, Frank, satisfied. She was comfortable with what the county has done as far as raising the maintenance of effort. And so that seems to be going well. based upon, again, we're not, there's no tax increase, you said. There's no tax.
The tax rates are remaining the same, both property and income taxes.
So there is no tax increase. We'll talk about that, but also what you want to talk about, because the county budget's done.
Well, let's break down a little bit of budget.
All right, Frank, let's do that.
One thing is, when I look at the budget and I don't want taxes raised, I guess the only thing I think about is priorities. Are you getting any feedback on, well, instead of funding this so much, let's get, you know, another sheriff's deputy or this? I mean, are there?
I'm getting a little bit of that. Absolutely. Sure. And that's not unusual.
Which is good.
So this year, we provided funding to education, the maintenance of effort, which keeps our student funding per pupil the same. That will help us to deal with enrollment growth, the opening of two new schools. The incremental money above that will likely be used for the third year phase-in of the teacher salary. And the Board of Education is going to have to find some money within its own budget to add to that to make that happen. But I believe they can do that based on my conversations with them. Then I provided county employees with a salary improvement.
What's that mean? Is that a raise or?
It's a raise. It is a step increase, which for us is, for most employees, is 3.5% of the midpoint. And so people who are newer will get a little bit more than that, and people who are on the upper end of the scale will get a little bit less than that. There is police and fire of different pay scales, so that's not exactly true for them. We have a proposed negotiated agreement for firefighters. And then we gave funding to the community college for a step increase at the community college. They have not had a step increase for a whole decade. And so, you know, we're still really recovering from the recession. And if you look at other county budgets, which I do, much of what they're doing is the same thing that I'm telling you right now, is they're going back and trying to either rebuild staff because staff was reduced either through actual budget cuts or just not filling positions, and they're trying to lift salaries. So retain the people that they have. And then after that, I only funded about 10 things, less than 10 things in the budget. So I've added fewer than 10 new positions. Five of them are in 911 communications because we've had a tremendous amount of turnover there.
Yep.
And so adding five people adds one person a shift. It doesn't really add as many people as it sounds. And then there's a couple other positions elsewhere. So really, the budget fits on about one piece of paper this year if you just hit the big categories. So we're valuing our employees. We're valuing our employees in education and in public safety and throughout county government.
Seniors in Frederick County, growing population.
Watch it, Frank.
And, well, one of the things that I announced in my presentation was people will see the implementation of a new senior services division. It was actually funded in the second half of the current year budget, but it will go into place July 1st. And we're really looking to serve our active seniors as well as our more frail elderly.
Me.
When we have growing populations of both, but they want very different things.
Certainly.
And really, we want to make sure people can continue to age in place in their own homes. Citizens in Montague, I wanted to highlight, we are not adding any general fund money to that. It's still a self-sustaining operation. And we are slowly but surely increasing the number of patients we subsidize with assisted living. And, you know, I think that has been a big accomplishment of this administration. And you know, so there's things people will see. So I had two new initiatives this year. One was to dedicate by policy 1.5% of the recordation tax to the Housing Initiative Fund, which supports affordable and workforce housing, which is not subsidized housing.
No, it's like 520, right?
It's like 520.
And when I say that, that's 520 North Market Street. It is a project underway that's getting completed, I was saying.
Yes, it should be open in the fall. So the idea is to really create workforce housing, leveraging federal tax credits. So the federal government will give a developer a tax credit, which is quite significant, if they create housing where rents are below market for a certain number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to match these tax credits to a certain amount. So this will allow us to leverage more of these kinds of projects, like the 520 project. Now, some of these projects are seniors only. Some are for all age, which 520 is, so that we can keep people living and working in the same community. And then the other new initiative in the budget is I took $500,000, which was a balance from snow removal and fuel savings, one-time money. It's a one-time use.
Sure.
And we're going to use it to incentivize a private sector provider opening up a detox center in Frederick County.
Amen, sister.
Because we know the opioid and heroin problem is huge, that it's touched many families all over the county. And we really need a place to take people and to make sure they have the treatment at the end of the day. So,
and it's not for an hour or a week. It's got to be.
Yes.
Yeah, without question. County exec, we have calls lined up, but
okay.
I guess we have to take a break first, Frank, or not? You talk to me, Frank.
Oh, right. Let's squeeze in one.
Okay, Joe from Spring Ridge.
Yeah.
Hey, so calling here from Spring Ridge, I'm seeing a lot on social media, and my neighbors are talking about police and fire and how they're leaving for other jurisdictions. Curious to see what is being done, if anything, to kind of keep those people here. We're hearing rumblings about like firefighters or police officers that leave for other jurisdictions, and as a taxpayer, my friends agree, why are we paying those people and they're leaving after a short period of time?
Well, about 3 years ago, we improved the pay scale for police because we actually had a number of sheriff deputies leaving to go to the city of Frederick because their starting pay was better. Not much different than the starting pay situation we have with teachers. So hopefully we've improved that situation. We are in negotiation with firefighters to, we've proposed a contract and agreed to a new type of pay scale, which we'll have to phase in, just like we'll have to phase in the teacher's pay scale. So we're trying to keep people. So we've had 5 firefighters go to other jurisdictions, 5 out of 400. You can decide whether that's a high number or not. Certainly it's small compared to what we've seen in 911 and in school health in terms of turnover. But we never want people to leave, particularly in public safety, because we spend so much money. So we are trying to address that. The other thing we're trying to do is make sure that we add enough people. So in fire, over the last couple of years, we've added 75 new firefighter EMT positions in the county, and we're really transitioning from station staffing to tactical staffing, which is, again, something that will take several years to do, but we are doing that over time. So, we've committed to trying to improve leave impact staffing so that we can make sure that last year we added 12 positions for leave impact so that our firefighters can take time off. Sometimes when people add positions, they don't recognize that when you have a 24/7 service, you know, people can't take their vacation and their time off. So we've had a problem over the years with people being able to take their time off. We're making progress on it, but we haven't cured it. Now, how did we get here? If you go back to the last Board of County Commissioners, they eliminated 38 firefighter positions. So they were vacant positions, but instead of freezing them for some time and then filling them again, they literally eliminated them.
What was the thinking? Was it? I mean, I don't expect you to account or have an answer for that, or at least, but what would be the thinking to eliminate firefighter positions?
You would have to ask one of them. You can ask Billy or Kirby, who are still around. Mm-hmm. They, Billy asked last night and said this morning that we needed to add more firefighters so that people can take leave. And he needs to recognize that this is a problem he created by eliminating these positions. So part of the SAFER grant, which was 41 positions, was to try to catch up on that. So we did not apply for another SAFER grant this year, but maybe in the next cycle we'll do that again. It really does help give us a jump start on adding people.
Gives you a couple of years to come up with the money to take care of. We're
going
to talk to the county exec. She's here. Frank's here. Victory County Exec Jan Garner. Frank and your modest host, Tim May. Humble and modest. Back to the phones?
No, not.
Yep, it's right there.
Dropped off.
Wake up your mind. That was James. See, whatever you got there. Oh, so county exec, so now what's the next in the process? Or processes of
The county council had public hearings this week. Apparently you watched one of these last night.
I did.
And next week they meet with division directors starting on Wednesday. On May 1st, I believe they have a public hearing on the constant yield tax rate. And then they will start to decide what they want to do with the budget in their workshops.
I just thought of something because I was so impressed. I'm all for this new park that I've ever heard of.
Othello Park.
Is that in Brunswick area?
It's in the Brunswick area. It's just north of Brunswick and Rosemont. And it will be a regional park. It's the only part of the county without a regional park. So we have a big demand for athletic fields from our parents, our athletic leagues. And they're always booked up right away.
Sure.
Year in advance, they're booked. And so that part of the county does not have access to a larger park, a regional park. So the Othello Park will go to bid soon, and it will start construction in the fall. The fields won't open until 2020. With a new park, you always have to cut in the roads and the parking lots and put in the bathrooms and some basic infrastructure. But we will have athletic fields there. I don't recall how many acres the whole park is. But this will not be developing the whole park. We're trying to do two phases at once. And so there'll be ball fields and pavilions and playgrounds and a trail system.
It was fascinating to me to find out that they had kids from the Brunswick area had to go down to Point of Rocks. We're a park.
There is one athletic field behind what used to be the former Ruricam building in Point of Rocks. It's a community building now. Mm-hmm. And they share that one field there in that part of the county. So, of course, Brunswick has some population growth with its new development there. Point of Rocks, not so much. Right. They had Canal Run. I think that'll be the end of the development in that part of the county. But there's definitely a need for athletic fields for Jefferson and Brunswick region.
And Tim, close your ears, but county exec, for those of us who are interested in seeing more trails and bike paths and all of that, mm-hmm. we're taken care of?
Yes, we've had, for the first time, people come in and talk about wanting us to complete some of our trail systems and our bikeway systems. People who bike say that, you know, they can bike in the city of Frederick, but then they can't. They can bike in the rural areas of the county, but in between the two, it is a big challenge. So the first thing we're going to finish is the Ballinger Creek Corridor Trail, which we have partially completed and have worked on for a good decade. And then we will see what we do after that.
Well, I was became a fan of Othello Park, not listening to the people from Brunswick that were there from the athletic community, and that was very very compelling that they were had been overlooked for years or whatever.
Yeah, there were probably 20 of them who came to my public hearing, and Mayor Smith from Brunswick came, and so Bill Folden has been an advocate. So there's been a number of people who've advocated for that park.
Excellent. 301-694. Well, let me see. Frankly, you got to check first.
And what people should know about our parks is we dedicate a portion of our recordation tax to parks, and that allows us to do that capital construction, and we use program open space money that comes from the state of Maryland.
Yeah, and they turn out well.
They do. We have beautiful parks, and we had 2 million people visit our parks last year. They have lots of fabulous programs.
Tim, ask Jan why Monocacy Boulevard closure is not on county website under road closures.
Because it's within the city of Frederick and it's on the city's page. But we could add that. We usually only report county roads.
Very good. Thank you. What do you got for me, Frank?
Now's a text, and here's a call from Bill.
Bill, what say you?
Tim, how are you?
I'm well.
Madam Executive, are you there?
Hi, Bill. Yes,
how
I am. I'm doing well. I'm listening to you. Just hear what your question is.
I don't have a question. I just wanted to call and congratulate you for being a grandmother.
Thank you.
Still can't believe that you are, but anyway.
I can.
I won't get into the time when you first told me, well, never mind, what your age was years ago. I thought that everybody in the whole...
They publish my age in the paper, so it is well known.
Well, I didn't know it at that time. But anyway, congratulations. But anyway, I also called to thank you. The situation you and I have been talking about, and Mike Marshner, the great Mike Marshner, has been rectified, and I appreciate
Excellent.
The time you gave me and getting it rectified, and that's all I wanted to say to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Have a great day. Bye.
It's been resolved.
It
wow.
is. That's good to hear something that the government has resolved, and congratulations, County Exec. Kudos from Bill. That's
I don't know if
write
there's
that
any.
That's hard earned.
Write that day down. What?
I don't know if there's any connection to that.
What?
But
talk to me, Frank.
Since last we talked to you, you did mention recycling services that we're going to be able to see some expanded curbside recycling.
We have put out a program where people who live in small multifamily housing units, 10 units or fewer, who are in residential neighborhoods, will have the option to opt in. Pay the single family SBC, which is the system benefit charge, so that they can have curbside recycling. And so if it's a landlord situation, the landlord would have to decide. And so we've mailed out to all those property owners, and we'll see how many participate. If they sign up by April 30th, they will have recycling begin July 1st. If they sign up at some other time, you know, there'll be some delay before they get into the system, but we'll put them in as soon as we can.
Condos, and it's also, would they be affected?
So it would be condos and apartments,
under 10.
Multifamily units under
small
10. Small businesses that are in residential neighborhoods. Sometimes we have a hair salon or a florist or something like that that's in primarily a residential neighborhood. And so it makes sense to add them to the residential collection system. And so we've had a lot of requests for this. I probably get a request for this once a month.
Really?
Yes. And so this is what we've tried to do to accommodate those property owners. And it is optional.
Good. That's a nice word you put there. You know, and the sad part is that recycling costs the county money. And that's the part that doesn't sit well with
me. It does cost us money. We do. Many of those materials are reusable. But there is a cost to collection and sorting it, and certainly the commodity price we get for it does not cover that cost. We do have a mandated recycling goal that we have to achieve set by the state, And
where do we stand on
we
that?
Certainly far exceed it. Mm-hmm. And so most counties have gone to single stream recycling. I will tell you the commodity market since has gone down, so our ability to sell some of that material has become much more difficult.
Best day of your life, I can tell you that. Jan Garner, county exec with us. Frank Mitchell, he's here. Tim, I'm here, and you're there at 301-694-9363. Andy, you're up next. Andy, what say you?
Hey, how's everybody doing? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I just wanted to follow Bill's theme. I think you're doing a fine job as well. I'm not a Democrat in this county, but I do believe that you've taken a very centrist approach to addressing the needs of everyone in this county, much like our Governor Hogan has.
Well, thank you. I have tried to be pragmatic and centrist in my approach.
Right, and that's important. Is, you know, we need to stop the division between political party and look at the things that need to be addressed and need to take the D's and the R's out of the equation. And I think you've done a fine job addressing a lot of the issues we have. What I like most is that there's not a lot of highs and lows, fairly consistent with reason. And that's important as a taxpayer to have that experience.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that feedback. I have tried to not have a lot of drama in government. That's what I like to call it. When I was first elected, I saw somebody out one day when I was out running errands, and they said, "We want all the drama to end. That's why we elected you."
No, I like that idea.
Yeah, I agree with that entirely. And when I look at the opposition from the Republican side, I don't think that they're bringing any pragmatic solutions. I think they're just an opposition. And I'm a Republican, so that needs to be heard by a few people out there who want to take this position.
You'd be interested in the election, I mean, because if you're getting things done, and, you know, why would you, people say, why would you want to change horses in the middle of the stream or whatever that means?
I think the county's heading in a good direction. I think we're supporting our core fundamental responsibilities. We're trying to manage growth responsibly. We've earned our three AAA bond ratings. We've got back citizens in Montague and made it work. We've done a lot of good things for our community, and I think we're making good progress, and we should continue to move Frederick forward to prosperity.
End of sentence. Let's go to James. James, good afternoon. You're with the county exec.
Yes, hi. It's Jay, actually.
That's what I thought. It's Frank's.
Frank, as usual.
Yep.
I've lived in my house here in Frederick City for 18 years, and we've had the recycling pickup. And a couple of years, I've gone down myself to the little retention pond behind our house, the state-required drainage pond, and it's just full of trash. And the trash is all, I guess, 90% recyclables. It's really frustrating, and my homeowners association has to pay for that to be picked up every year. And it's just another unintended consequence of the recycling program. I'd like you to stop the recycling program completely, as it's a complete boondoggle and waste of money that emanated from Annapolis.
All right. Now, she's saying he's in Frederick City.
Well, the county provides recycling countywide, including in Frederick City and all the other municipalities.
And I'll be honest with you. We have heard this before, that we have a trash problem in the county, and some of it's being blamed on recycling.
Some of it is. I mean, some people overfill their container. The lid is a flappable lid, and you have a windy day, and some of it blows around, or people just put it out in an open container. So we do try to ask people to make sure their lid's closed and to secure that. But I will tell you, some of that is also people overfilling their trash cans and that blowing around as well. So it really does come down to personal responsibility to manage that so that their neighborhood and their own yard will look nice. But so it's not an easy problem to solve.
Yeah, but you're not ready at this point to...
we're not going to end recycling. In fact, we're mandated by the state to have a certain percentage of our waste stream recycled. Now, we far exceed that. But it is not something we can simply end.
Now, some places are talking about the opposite of what James was advocating, like Montgomery County, I think, is trying to go for a zero waste goal. Would we be ready to go that far to have, a target date to achieve zero waste?
Why?
Well, the state has set up something called zero waste, and zero waste is just trying to reduce the size of your waste stream.
Correct.
I mean, it can't really get completely to zero. But the idea is to do composting, recycling. There still is some waste to be disposed of, but to reduce that, I think to reduce it, waste, we would really need to go back to the manufacturers to some extent, reduce some of the packaging that's out there, some of which is not recyclable and can't, goes into the waste stream. And we also will have to spend money to do that. So we are going to look at composting, and there are some composting pilots going on in our schools. We have a group of citizens who are interested in that, applying for a grant, which I'm supporting. And but it, taking that food waste out is the next thing to reduce the volume that's going into landfills.
I'm still hearing, even after a serious consideration was done away with a number of years ago, every once in a while hearing of waste to energy, incinerator, however you want to call it, but burning trash. Is this anywhere on the horizon, or has this just been put to bed for some time to come?
I think it's been put to bed for some time to come. I mean, the reality is it's expensive. It's a big fixed capital expense. So we really, quite frankly, didn't have the volume of waste to do it without another county partnering. And the financials changed dramatically because part of the revenue stream to waste energy is the electricity revenue, and the price of electricity has fallen. So one of the things we know for certain in all of the waste environment is that commodity prices are pretty volatile. And so doing something that's fixed is more difficult. You need to maintain some flexibility.
Well, that point more on a monetary level than an environmental.
That's correct. Argument.
That would mean that you have in your mind somewhere, or someone's working on the new landfill.
No, I think we have a place to reduce our waste stream, as that's what we're trying to do first. And we have some long-term contracts to take our remaining waste up to a landfill in Pennsylvania, which isn't far away, for good or bad. We have some nearby states that have some mega landfills, and I don't see us building another landfill in Frederick County anytime soon.
When will our landfill be closed?
Probably it will last for 50 years,
really?
Based on the fact that we're putting very little into it right now.
We're back with Jan Garner, County Exec, and she answered all your questions at 301-694-9363. Urbana Elementary.
Today we had a celebration at Urbana Elementary School.
Wowzers.
They were named one of just 6 schools in the state of Maryland as a Maryland Blue Ribbon School.
Wow.
So we had a big celebration. Since the school is overcrowded, we had the program outside, and the kids sat on the playground on blankets, and they sang and they participated. I had them participate in my proclamation. Every time I said Urbana Elementary, I had them shout a Blue Ribbon School, and they had a good time doing that. And of course, the folks from the state Department of Education come. The state superintendent was there, and the school wins some money. They win a variety of products from some businesses. Kids, you know, weren't that excited about winning $7,000 or $2,000 in whiteboards, but they got a cookie party, and they were all excited about that. So,
normal kids in Urbana, I like that.
But, you know, it really does show that Frederick County Public Schools does a great job, and I was really impressed.
Only 6 in the whole state.
Only 6 in the whole state. So we're very lucky to have a school make that kind of achievement.
Sure. Congratulations to Urbana Elementary.
Let me ask you a couple.
Go ahead,
maybe
Frank.
More challenging questions, but
go
maybe
for it,
okay. Philosophical too.
Oh,
first is Maryland General Assembly wrapping up.
Yep.
Tell us what you like and what you don't like. Not only what bills passed that will be good for Frederick County, but also anything that didn't pass that you wish had, or that did pass that you wish hadn't.
Okay. Well, there's a lot to say there. Overall, I think the session was good for counties. It was good for Frederick County. My priority bill locally was to strengthen the ethics provisions in state law. You know, there were some differences of opinion between myself and Senator Huff last year. We went back to the drawing board, came up with a new bill that we both agreed upon, and that bill sailed right through. And that will expand who has to comply with our ethics laws on land use decisions, and certain board members, if they file to run for office, if they're on the Board of Zoning Appeals or the Planning Commission or the Liquor Board, they have to step down. So that bill will go into effect July 1st. Counties and municipalities get highway user revenue restored, which is our share of the gas tax. It was cut about 10 years ago, and it was cut by 96% 10 years ago. Mm. And so Frederick County used to get about $13.5 million in gas tax share based on population and vehicle registration. And that was literally cut to a few $100,000. So we are going to get a few $1 million restored, not so much in the upcoming fiscal year, but in fiscal year 20. So that was a big accomplishment, and the counties and municipalities worked together on that. So we've been asking for that to be restored to some degree for literally a decade, and so that was a big accomplishment. I served on the Knott Commission, which is looking at school construction, and that bill passed this year. certain things were added to it that were quite political. But if you look at the merits of the bill, a lot of the things that we advocated for from Frederick County were included. So there's an increase of funding to $400 million a year, which I think is going to be very helpful.
$400 million?
$400 million. And also, they streamlined the approval processes. So for big counties, we don't really need to have legislative services review our plans because they can delegate authority to the medium size and big counties, still help the smaller counties who may only build a school once every 5 or 10 years.
Right.
And they're also added a number of provisions to allow for public for financing options and public-private partnerships. So overall, I think that was a good bill.
What were you disappointed in not getting?
I was disappointed that we didn't make any progress at all for our local brewers.
Why would anybody fight that?
That was a political fight. So pure and simple. So we'll see what happens next year in terms of addressing some of that. There was also a bill put in by a delegate from Baltimore County that would have defined public enhanced benefits and developer rights and responsibilities agreements. And I was uniquely supportive of that, and that ended up not passing. And so I think if we give developers certain benefits, taxpayers deserve to get something back in return. You know, the last Board of County Commissioners did 14 of those, and for 12 of them, we got absolutely nothing. We gave away a lot and got absolutely nothing for the taxpayers. And I'm stuck with those contracts. The courts have said it's a legal contract. If you entered a dumb contract, we don't protect you from yourself. So some of the decisions of the last Board of County Commissioners are going to stay with us for some period of time. You know, growth is always a hot topic in this county. And the current administration, we really haven't approved any new residential growth. We've converted some zoning in Urbana for a senior housing project, but that's been it. And so a lot of the projects that people see starting are things that were approved by the prior administration.
How many houses did we bring online this year?
A lot of it was multifamily. It's a lot of multifamily housing, so it pushes the number up, but it's about 1,800. So it's a lot.
But that's our average, 15 to 1,800 a year?
Our average is usually something lower than that. If you went back 15 years, I would say 1,800 was an average. Mm-hmm. In the recession, we went down to 400 or 500. And then for a number of years, we stuck around 1,200. But it's always kind of artificially inflated with that multifamily number.
All right, we're going to hear what Pete has to ask or say. Pete, you're with the county exec.
Yes, Jan, I heard you say that we've lost 5 firefighters.
Yeah.
What's the cost of that when we lose those individuals?
Well, as far as the training and everything?
Just in general, training. I mean, the cost of taxpayers to fill those spots.
If we already have a position budgeted, obviously that money stays in place until we fill it again. Every year we have some people retire, and we have some people leave because they want to maybe enter another profession. We had one person leave this year to go to nursing school. So we always have a few people leave for other reasons. But that salary still stays there, and then we refill it. But it does cost us because we do put people through recruit school. We would prefer not to lose the expertise that we've invested in.
Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, I guess that somewhat does. I'm just worried about the cost when we lose those individuals. If they're going somewhere else, you know, what does that burden to the taxpayers? Because I'm sure it takes a while to get somebody on the floor.
Yeah,
it does. That's the same with police and. Mm-hmm. So everybody in county government is trained to some extent. If you're 911, you go through a training program. Mm-hmm. So everybody has some kind of training in public safety in particular. So we don't want to lose anybody, but the reality is there's going to always be some degree of turnover. It's not going to be zero.
Do you know what type of degree turnover is when you lose people at
We do track turnover, and we do have exit interviews with people, so we do try to find out what people are doing, and that's true. Right now, we probably have the biggest turnover in school health, and so we track that through every agency. Sometimes we do staffing studies to find out how we should be staffed. That's not necessarily true in public safety, but we do have a fire department plan, so... Mm-hmm. You know, most of the things we're trying to accomplish, we accomplish over time.
For sure.
Oh, okay. Because I remember a while ago we did a study called Tri-Data. The county something like that.
Yeah. That was at least a decade ago. So the current fire chief has a plan. And one of the things I'll tell you that we're probably behind on executing on the plan has been fire stations. And like a lot of things, a lot of it was put on hold during the recession. The last board didn't build fire stations, parks, libraries, nothing. And so all of that has been restarted. The Middletown Fire Station's under construction right now. And we're looking for to build one on the northwest side of the city of Frederick, probably on Hayward Road.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate your call.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Pete.
My goodness, sorry about this. I wanted to know the status of the LaGore Road Solar Complex. I know the appeal was lost, and I'm just wondering where we stand. Thank you.
That is still going to remain under litigation for some period of time, so that's where we stand.
Okay. On hold.
Okay, thank you. Terry, that's for you. Hope that answers the question. Still under litigation.
If you want to know more, send me an email, and you can find that on the county webpage, or just put my name in and Google it.
All right. Thank you. That'll get you answers on what's going on there.
Now, I asked about the General Assembly. Let me ask you about the county. Both, I'm hearing you describe the budget, say it's passed pretty much as is.
Well, it hasn't passed yet. I mean, the council's just considering it. They'll have to pass it by the end of May, mm-hmm. by the charter.
But let's say it is. It sounds like everything is very positive. What does that leave you in the way of challenges? What is there anything in 2018 that isn't just, the way it should be in the county? Things that you need to go after? Problems?
Well, you've just heard a few people calling here today to talk about fire and adequate staffing and fire so that we have that leave impact for people. We also will need to phase in a full new pay scale for fire. We need to go back and finish the pay scale for teachers. We need to continue to build schools, implement plans in all parts of the county. So the Seniors First initiative is in its beginning stages. So the work goes on, and we're going to need to continue to manage growth in this county and manage it responsible, because growth is one of our biggest drivers and cost factors of our budget. And so we need to make sure we do that.
How much money did the county provide for the – I'm just – these texts are coming in. How much money did the county provide for the Middletown Fire Station?
I think the Middletown Fire Station cost about $7 million. I will tell you the majority of that money was from the former Middletown Fire Tax District. It was collected back in the 2000s, between 2000 and 2010, when the last Board of County Commissioners held up that fire station. Basically, that didn't move the money because it was collected in Middletown. It should be spent in Middletown. So I did add a little bit of money to that because obviously the costs went up over time, but most of that money sat in place for the last decade.
All right, Chuck, let's see what Chuck has to say. What's up, Chuck?
Good afternoon, Tim Frank, County Executive Gardner. Undoubtedly, the exit off of Route 70 onto Route 85 is probably one of the busiest entrances into the city of Frederick. And probably, the county in general, with Route 70 going through. But anyway, is there anything that can be done with the persistent beggars?
Is that county or city? I guess it's county.
It's county.
Panhandlers?
Yeah.
Yes, we actually have a law that doesn't allow people to be standing out in the roadway for any purpose in the county. And so the sheriff's office does have the opportunity to enforce that. And so you can call the sheriff's office. We actually don't want people collecting money. Sometimes it's not... it's people fundraising in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
And so we don't really think it's safe for anybody to be standing in the middle of a roadway. And so if you see that, you can call. I would call the non-emergency number at the sheriff's office. I don't happen to know that off the top of my head, but you could find it online and just report it as a concern.
Thank you. And Frank, you have a lady over there on hold. We need to talk with her.
Unless you have a question for the county exec, she may have the last word, and that is...
There it is, Grammy. Days of old. No, not from the high, but from the low, the one, the only, the Grammy low. Good afternoon, Grammy. You're with the county exec.
Well, that's wonderful. Hi, Jane. I was so happy to hear you got to go to see that grandson.
Oh, yeah. He's adorable.
Isn't that grand? Well, I got some blankets here for him.
Thank you.
But now we're going to talk about business.
Okay.
What's the chance of our getting money from the state to improve 270? I see where the Metro got the funding.
Well, the governor announced a few months ago that he wants to do a private-public partnership and have 270 widened with toll lanes.
Okay.
So they are putting out a request for proposal on that right now. I mean, they're out. So we'll see what he gets there. So my sense and whether that will fly depends on what the tolls might be to the people who drive up and down 270 every day. So I actually posted it out on Facebook and Twitter, and there was a lot of negative feedback to it, quite to believe it or not. People do not want to pay a toll.
Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Well, then I guess we'll just have to contend with the traffic.
Well, we are getting some other road improvements here. Certainly Monocacy Boulevard and US 15 interchange will open soon. The I-270-85 interchange improvements are getting started. And we'll see some additional improvements at 340-180, where there'll be a second bridge put across 340 to help alleviate that traffic.
Sounds more than reasonable. Well, County Exec, is there anything else you'd like to wrap up on? I'm trying to...
Just ask people to stay tuned to County Government. You can find out a lot about what we're doing on our webpage, on my Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter. And I have a press briefing every Thursday. Tomorrow, we're going to announce Community Partnership Grants, which is our partnership with our human service nonprofit agencies. The council leadership will be joining me for that. And so tune in and watch us and try to keep track of what's happening in County Government, because we certainly want to hear from you.